Welcome to Dance Matters Podcast, a place to be inspired, motivated, and educated.
A place where we invite performers to share their stories so we can celebrate all things dance and the performing arts.
We're your hosts, Kaylee
and Charlie.
Dance Matters Podcast is proudly brought to you by Crystallized Costumes,
the place for all your costume needs,
and adrenaline dance competitions.
Today's guest, Soraya Zapata's love for dance started when she began taking classes at Scher's Studio of Modern Dance at the young age of 3.
She continued her training at Wollongong High School of the Performing Arts as a dance student. During her time there, Soraya was thrilled to be given the role of a featured dancer in School Spectacular.
She was also a company member of the Forge Tap Project and is a member of Girls on Tap. In January 2018, Soraya was honoured to obtain a position in the Dream Creative Oz and was given the opportunity to perform along with the Dream Dance Company at the Australian Dance Festival.
In 2019, whilst completing her Certificate 4 in Dance at Village Nation, Soraya was given the opportunity to be a featured dancer in Guy Sebastian's hit single, Choir.
Soraya was successful in gaining a contract with the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line as a dancer and left for Miami in December 2019. Unfortunately, due to COVID-19, she had to return home earlier than planned. She loved performing and misses it, but is enjoying being back at home auditioning for roles and teaching.
But before we explore her young career, let's take it back to 3-year-old Soraya, who followed her mother's footsteps into the dance studio.
So my mum was actually a flamenco dancer. She was born and raised in Spain and a dancer pretty much her whole life. So I guess you could say it ran in the family and I was grew up into it. My mum was literally pregnant with me and still dancing before she gave birth. And then from there, she tried to get me into flamenco dancing and I cried. I absolutely hated it. And then from there, when I turned 3, she took me into ballet and jazz because a friend, like a family friend, recommended Scher Studio very highly. And I guess from there, I loved it ever since and I haven't stopped. So that's how it started.
And when did she come to Australia?
Mum came to Australia when she was quite young and then she went back overseas when she was 18 to see family and spent a couple of years there. And then from there, settled down and met Dad and then had myself and my brother.
Yeah, right. So what was your training like growing up? You started off with some ballet and jazz. Did it keep developing from there?
Yeah, I started with ballet and jazz, and then when I got to the age of 6, I started tap, which then became my favourite style. My training was absolutely incredible over the years. I did have to sacrifice a lot as a young kid, like including sleepovers, parties. I was late to family events, the whole typical thing, but I loved it, and it never crossed my mind to jump ship to anything else or to even miss a rehearsal or a class. And I guess that came from the discipline and the passion of my teachers and everything. But yeah, I started with ballet and jazz, and then from there I grew into each style as I got older.
And did you do solos, troupes, all of that?
Yeah, so I started solos when I was 6. When I was younger, it was more of a, you had to make sure you were trained perfectly. You had to be ready to go on stage. I just wasn't ready yet. So when I got to the age of 6 and I moved to High Performance Studios, I started jazz solo. And then from there, I moved to tap and then contemporary and lyrical. I never got a chance to do ballet, but that's okay. The other ones were definitely my favourite, so I was happy with that. And I did comps all the way till I was 18 and then stopped from there.
Can you remember your first solo?
Yeah, I can. I absolutely can. It was Dance to the Music and I was in a pink and green outfit. Probably the typical, I feel like everyone had that song. And it was jazz solo and I was in the Six Thunder and yeah, I loved it. I probably could still do it to this day. It was like muscle memory, but yeah.
Sorry, I'm laughing here because that was the same song Charlie's first jazz solo was to at 6 years of age.
I feel like everyone had it.
We're going to move on, teachers. Let's get some new material.
I know. Creativity.
Now, you attended Wollongong Performing Arts High School. Did that school suit you?
Yes, it very much did. I was there from year 7 to year 12, and I guess you could say I was around such like-minded people that were passionate about the arts. And it made coming to school enjoyable and I loved it. And it also taught me a lot about balance as I had to keep up with my schoolwork and my study and also be able to hit like the extracurricular activities outside of school. So I very much enjoyed it and yeah, it was great.
Was it important to you to complete your higher education to finish off year 12?
To be honest, with me. I didn't want to. I didn't think it was, but I'm very glad I did. So, yes, I graduated in year 12. I did want to leave at year 10 and I wanted to do full-time dance. As passionate artists, all we want to do is dance every day. That's all I wanted to do. But my mum did convince me very much to stay in school, and I'm glad I did. I made so many memories, and it made like going to full-time more enjoyable because I had something to look forward to, something to work towards, and I did achieve great results. I studied as much as I could and had fun in the process of it all. But yeah, I think it's very important. And again, it's just the memories and making friends and having those friendships to last forever and then being able to look forward to something. So yeah.
You were a featured dancer in School Spectacular. Did you enjoy being a part of School Spec?
Absolutely. I could say School Spectacular was definitely one of the biggest highlights in my high school ever. I had so much fun from like, I had the long audition days, the rehearsal days, spec week, the performances. I had an absolute blast. And there's people that I met there from other schools that I still speak to on a daily basis. And spec gave me so many opportunities to connect with other people and choreographers in the industry. It was amazing. And I couldn't recommend it enough as a high school kid to be a part of that and participate in School Spectacular. It is amazing.
And how do you get to be a featured performer? Do you submit a tape or an audition?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do it a little bit different now, but when I was in high school, we would go into a basketball stadium and we would have like an audition go from 9 to 3 from each style, so it'd be a different day and it'd be huge. So it'd have jazz, contemporary, ballet, tap, hip-hop, and then from there they'd just pick you and you got to be in as many as you could be. So it was fantastic, and the auditions were a great experience also. So yeah.
You attended Village for your full-time training. Why did you choose that course?
So I moved to Village Nation in 2016, and after training there for 2 years, it's the place I wanted to be. I used to watch the Village Nation graduations from 2012, and ever since then I did not miss a single grad show until mine. And I remember watching it every single year and being like, I want that to be me, and I want to be trained by the best. I want to be trained under Jackie Howard. I'm going to be trained at that studio, and I was lucky enough to do that. And still to this day, I could never describe like how much I enjoyed dancing at Village. And full circle moment, I get to teach there now, and it still feels like home. It still feels like family. I can come in, I can take class, I can go and use the studio whenever I like. It is incredible, and it very much feels like a family, and that's always what I look for in a dance studio, because I love my family so much. And yeah, I couldn't recommend going to Village enough. It's amazing.
You were a company member of the Forge Tap Group. Do you enjoy tap?
I feel like not many people know this about me, but tap's actually my favourite and my strongest style. I took it very, very, very seriously when I was younger and doing competitions. I think my training was very important to me. I did one syllabus. I only had 2 tap teachers, and I love tap so much. So when I got to do the Forge, it was a massive push and a challenge for me because, like I said, I was only training 1 syllabus, and I got to learn off numerous tap dogs, and their style was a little bit different. So I was completely pushed, but I'm so glad I did it. And I loved absolutely everything about it. And because I looked up to the tap dogs for so long and girls on tap, I was like, all I want to do, I want that to be me. And the Forge allowed me to have that opportunity to learn off those people and perform with those people. And it was great. And I made so many friends off it too that all loved tap, which was pretty cool actually.
You performed as a part of the Dream Dance Company. What was that experience like?
Honestly, that experience was quite incredible and very special. So I did the Dream Creative in 2018, which was the first year Marco had started that. And by the end of our course, he announced that we were performing with the Dream Dance Company at ADF. Yeah, it was amazing. So you had the likes of like Kat Santos and Mitch Winter. And I can't remember because it was 4 years ago, but I remember Marco announcing to us that we had the opportunity to dance with them in the opening, and everyone was crying and screaming and like hugging each other. It was incredible, and I pretty much was starstruck because they're the people that I look up to, and the fact that I got to have an opportunity to dance with them on stage in front of everyone, in front of the whole ADF, was insane and definitely an experience and a highlight I will remember forever. And that's just Marco giving amazing opportunities once again. So it's very, very, very grateful.
And after that, is that what led you into going into the Dream Show Business course?
I actually wasn't going to do the Dream Show Business at all because I was overseas at the time. I was pretty bummed out actually because I was like, it was funny, I messaged Marco and I was like, if anything happens, can I come back and can I come do it? And matter of fact, something did happen and I did have to come home, and I was able to do the show business, and probably the best decision I've ever made. So it was absolutely amazing for someone that had just come out of full time, and I was feeling a little bit lost because I'd just come back from overseas. It was great, and it was just 8 weeks of straight training and learning new things about business, and I enjoyed it so much.
So what did you get out of that course?
I got a lot of training. I was able to make a lot of connections with choreographers I didn't get to make in full time. And I guess it was just to find my own brand and find myself. I guess after full time, I was, again, like a little bit lost, just come back from overseas, and I just wasn't sure of my own brand and who I was as an artist and a dancer. And I guess that helped me find, like, myself. And also the business side, I didn't realise I was quite interested in it, just creating your own business, again, your own brand. And there were so many ideas. I was like, oh, I can do this. I can do this as a dancer. There were so many, like, branches that I could reach out to that I didn't know as an artist I could do. And, yeah, it was incredible. Like, so much theory work that I really much enjoyed, which I thought I wasn't going to, so it was great.
You performed in Guy Sebastian's choir film clip. How did that opportunity come about?
Yeah, so this was my first professional gig while I was in the middle of full-time, actually. So when I received it, I was ecstatic. I was jumping up and down. I was like, Mum, look at this. Like, I've just been booked on my first gig. And that opportunity, I was grateful enough to come from Alex Medinsky. She was my local teacher for 2 years prior to that, and she had booked us on the gig. The experience was, like, incredible. I was able to also dance alongside so many professionals that I had looked up to in that music clip, and to be able to share rehearsals with them, and the day that we shot the music video, and also being able to experience what it's like to film with an artist was insane, down to, like, the makeup, the costumes, the hair, the retakes, everything was so much fun. And still to this day, when I hear the song on the radio, I get shivers because I'm like, that was my first ever professional gig and I'm in that music video. Like, it's insane. So, yeah.
What is it like filming a film clip for an artist?
It's so much fun. And the artists that I've been able to film with have been so nice. They've been so caring about their dancers. They're long days, they're long hours, but I guess if you're there and you're happy to be there and you love it, it's all worth it in the end. Like I said, like, it can drag out. You can do a lot of retakes, a lot of makeup touches, changing outfits. Things might not work, but at the end of the day, when you see the final product, it's so rewarding and, yeah.
Are you doing the pieces over and over because they're trying to get different camera angles and things?
Absolutely. I remember doing the Guy Sebastian one, and there was a lot of retakes, a lot. And you don't realise how much goes into it until you see that final product. It's like, oh my gosh, it makes sense now. And that's why we had to do it so many times. So, yeah, it's good to see that from that perspective also behind the camera. And I think I enjoyed that too. I don't think I could ever do it, but I love learning about it and seeing the process and, yeah, like, the final outcome. So,
you got a contract to join a cruise ship, but that was cut short by COVID. What are your thoughts on working on a cruise ship?
So, yes, I gained that contract after I finished full-time, literally a month after I graduated, so the timing was perfect. I think it's an amazing job. I couldn't recommend enough, especially for people that have just finished full-time. I say go out there, go audition, set up your profile, get your face out there. It's a great way to travel, spend your money, save your money, perform and meet new people. I think ship life is very different to land, so for some people it might not be for them, which is fine, and I wasn't sure how I was going to take it either. I must admit, I did struggle for the first couple of weeks. It's completely different, and yeah, it's not for everyone, but I'm glad I went in there full force with an open heart, and I ended up loving it. But also at the end of the day, I did have a different experience to everyone. I didn't get to experience a full contract, so my personal opinion is that I probably wouldn't go back because of what I experienced, but I definitely recommend it for everyone. And yeah, just for young people that are finishing full-time, I'm sure what to do. So yeah.
You were actually stuck on the cruise ship for quite some time, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Very long time.
So did it go into lockdown because of COVID?
Yes, it did. So we were stuck out at sea. I'm pretty sure I counted almost 80 days, so we didn't touch land for 80 days, and we were in lockdown for 24. So I was in a room of those 80 days, 24 by myself, and we were weren't allowed to leave, so we got like room service 3 times a day, and we were in the room for those amount of days, and it was very hard. I got back to Sydney and I had to quarantine for 14 days again. So you could say I'm like a pro at quarantining. Like, I could do it any time of the day. It was an eye opener, I think, and to spend that much time by myself, I never got an opportunity to ever, and I learned a lot about myself. And I'm glad that I did it by myself also. So it was a lot. It was a lot that I had to face when I came back home also. But I very much healed from it. And it was an experience that I feel like I needed to go through. I feel like I was there for a reason. And it's made me the person I am today. It's made me stronger. It's made me feel like I can really face anything I need to face. And yeah, it's funny because I really set off there to go do my first professional contract and I ended up doing that, but it happens, and just go take it on the chin.
No wonder you never want to see the inside of a cruise ship again.
Never.
You are represented by Jeek Management. Do you think it's important to have an agent?
I have been a part of Jeek for almost 3 years now, and personally, in my opinion, I believe you do, yes. They have given me so many opportunities. They have put my face in so many audition rooms, and they've also just looked after me as a performing artist. They've kept me safe. They've kept me working in the right environments, and I couldn't be any more grateful for what they've done for me. And they also encouraged me to kick all my goals that I've ever wanted to kick. So I personally believe, yeah, it's important to have them, but I also have friends that aren't. They're independent and they go out and do it on their own, which I think is amazing. But yeah, I am very grateful that I have an agent, and they do guide me and encourage me to do a lot of things that I probably couldn't do myself. And I learn a lot from them also. So absolutely, yeah.
What are some of the highlights of your career so far?
So this is a long one because I was sitting there writing this, and I was like, I didn't realize how many highlights I had and how many experiences that have shaped me into the artist and like the person I am today also. So I guess you could say my massive highlight this year for sure would definitely be performing with Baker Boy. I've been able to travel to every single state in Australia, which I never thought I'd be able to do, and perform there. And that was a part of his tour. I was able to perform at the ARIA Awards with him, which was insane, and then also open the new Allianz Stadium in Sydney. So I guess in my career, that's definitely been one of the biggest highlights I'm very, very, very grateful for, and hopefully continue that in 2023. But also being able to, so I was also being able to perform with like at the Mardi Gras. I was booked by the New Ground Collective, working with Mitchell Woodcock and Lauren Seymour, something I've always dreamed of. That was insane, another massive highlight this year. And then when I go down the line, when I think of myself when I was younger, ADF 2019, being able to be picked by Yvette Lee, Dance Around the World, so I was able to perform on stage, which was incredible. Just that feeling of like being in a class with like a sea of people, and then that one person point at you and be like, you, I want you. And that was insane, so I'll remember that forever. And I think another major two would definitely be my school spectacular solo that was choreographed by Neil Whittaker. Performing in front of thousands of people was insane, and it was always something again that I dreamt of doing. I remember watching Southern Stars in 2012, and I saw this girl on stage doing a solo, and I was like to mum, I want that to be me. Like, that's going to be me, and I want that to be me. And I was lucky enough to have the opportunity on my last year of high school to do that. So very, very, very grateful. And then I guess the last major one, I have a lot more, but living in Miami by myself for my first professional contract, I think that was a highlight, not only as an artist, but just as a person. I don't live by myself here. I live with my family. So going overseas and having to look after myself, cook my own food, pay for everything, it was a huge shock. And I think I'm glad I did that, because now knowing coming back to Australia, if I ever had to do that again on another contract, for example, in Sydney or overseas, I know I can do it. I know I've faced it. And I'm glad that dance has given me that opportunity to grow as a person, not only just as an artist. So, yeah.
Has it been difficult finding work as a dancer in Australia?
I think during COVID, it was for sure. As you know, our industry literally came to a halt. Everyone lost their jobs. Everyone was out of work. Everyone was out of income. We all missed it so very much. So coming back into it, everyone wants the one job. Everyone wants to get into the audition room. Everyone wants to have that feeling of performing on stage and being booked, having that contract. So I could say it's been hard, absolutely. But going back to being able to work with an agent, they've gotten me into so many rooms, so many auditions that I've been so lucky to experience. And I think when the time is right, divine timing, it will work. You'll book the job. But yeah, it hasn't been easy at all because everyone's just wanting the same job. So our industry is very small. And yeah, it's just pushing for that and keep on working hard. What's meant for you, like what's meant for you will already be yours. And that's what I keep on believing until a big job comes around. So yeah.
So as a young dancer in Australia, how many auditions would there be a year roughly that you get opportunities to go to?
Quite a lot.
Okay.
I'm just going off 2022.
Yeah.
I've been in so many audition rooms.
Okay.
I could easily say just under 15 maybe, which is huge, especially coming back from COVID and being able to be face-to-face in a room instead of doing self-tapes is massive. And I've gone from like commercial auditions to like musical theatre auditions to castings a lot. And the more you do it, the more you enjoy it and the more you get better at auditioning. So again, like I'm just so happy that I've been able to experience that. And you get to love auditioning and then everyone in there is having fun and you take it more as a class. And if you don't get it, then okay, well, we're on to the next. And we know that there's going to be a next, which is really promising. I think a couple of years ago, it's like, oh, is that the only one for the whole year or the whole month? And yeah, it's really picking up now, which is really exciting. So yeah.
We've talked to people in America and there are literally thousands of people turning up to auditions there. How many people would you get to an audition room in Australia?
It depends. I did an open call audition in Melbourne a couple of months ago and there was easily over 100 girls in that room for sure. And they were only looking for one dancer.
Yeah.
And then there's other auditions where they've been either casted or you've been invited to. So another one that I went to, there was probably about 10 of us in the room.
Okay.
So it varies because sometimes they know what they're looking for and sometimes they don't. So they might have a whole room of people that you literally squish in. You have to fight for that attention, for that center front. Ones where it's casual and it's like, yeah, they've asked you to come in there, and which is exciting also, which is promising. So, yeah, they're very much vary. You just don't know what to expect on the day, I guess.
Do you have any strategy when you go in to make yourself stand out?
I thought I did, but honestly, like, lately I've just been going in there and having fun. Like, it sounds cliche because obviously you get your nerves. You get all of that. But I've learned to make, like, my audition a part of my day. So I'll get up, I'll have breakfast at the auditions later in the day. I might, like, go for a drive beforehand because I do live quite far away from Sydney. And just make it part of my day. I'll make sure, like, I have, like, a little treat in my bag afterwards so then I can have, like, a reward after I've done the audition. And I try not to stress too much about, like, what I'm wearing. I'm just wearing something that I feel comfortable in. And going in there and just dancing my absolute best, which I know is in my control. Everything other than that, where it might be my looks or my height, is completely out of my control and it's just something they're looking for. But as long as I know I've done my 100% best in my performance and I've had fun, that's all that I care about.
Now that you're outside of that world of full-time or being at dance classes all day long, having classes locked in, what are you doing to make sure that you are ready for any audition, that you're fit and you're ready to go and your skills are up to scratch?
So I'm still taking class, obviously. I'm still training. I'm trying my very hardest to get into my singing, my vocal training a lot more. It's something that I wish I had done earlier as artist and as a kid. I did, but I didn't take it seriously and I didn't realize how much I needed it when I came out of full time. So it was a major shock. So it's definitely, yeah, keeping up with my training and stepping outside my comfort zone and my other styles. But the singing for sure at the moment is like how I'm prepping to get into an audition room because it's so important and I could dance as well as I could. But if my voice is not up to the scratch, unfortunately, it's a no. So I have to really work on that one.
What are you currently working on?
So, yeah, quite literally the vocal training. And then just stepping out of my comfort zone. I have certain styles that I feel very confident in. And if you put a camera in front of me, love it. I will absolutely thrive in it. And it feels so good in my body. And then there's other styles that I might not feel as good in, and I'll start looking in the mirror, start my feeling a bit, oh, this doesn't look good, doesn't feel good, and I'll step back, I'll pull back, but I think I'm working really hard on this year, just going there with full force and stepping out of the comfort zone, just getting comfortable with everything so I can go to every single class without having like a worry or a head noise. So yeah, that's pretty much what I'm working towards this year.
And you do a lot of teaching as well, don't you, to support your life as a professional dancer?
Yes, I do. I do a lot of teaching, yes.
And is that regularly booked in at different places, or do you get called up to do workshops?
Yeah, so I have like a schedule for 2023. Yeah, I'll do Monday to Thursday and sometimes Saturday. And yeah, sometimes I'll be in workshops, like now during January, absolutely, I'll be doing workshops because school's not back, so the kids are just wanting to have like different privates and everything, get prepared for step bits. But yeah, I love teaching. I absolutely love, I remember how much I loved my teachers when I was young. So being able to have like a full circle moment and teach like little kids, even kids that are like 18, I absolutely love it. It's hard work, it's not easy, and I'm still learning, I believe, as a teacher. So much I can learn and so much I can do better, especially with choreography and stuff. But yeah, set schedule and I'll go there every afternoon. So it's nice to know that I have that work and be able to see kids every afternoon. So yeah.
What does dance mean to you?
What does dance mean to me? It means a lot of things. It's not just my job, but to me, it's like a way of living. It's my passion. And to be able to have this passion for so long and now turn it into my job, that's huge for me. Like, it's everything I've always ever wanted. And to have it off my mum, because she was a dancer, is so special to me. I think dance also means culture to me. I'm very proud of my culture, and because, like I said, mum was a flamenco dancer, to see that run like through her blood and literally her veins is like, it means passion. It's so passion to me. And dance brings people together. It's an exchange of energy between us, and I think it's just the feeling of performing on stage and giving someone else that's watching the same feeling I'm having. And yeah, it's been there a lot of times when no one else can, like a physical human being can't be there. It's been there for me, especially when I was stuck overseas, literally by myself. It was the only thing that was there. And it's not only taught me so much as an artist, but as a person, it's created friendships, discipline, hard work, so many memories. I literally look around in my room, or like the clothes I'm wearing and the things I'm doing and the people I'm with, and I'm like, I literally would not have any of this if it wasn't for dancing. Like, everything that I have somehow is connected to it. It's insane. So it quite literally means my whole life and everything I've always wanted to do and everything I'll do forever. So yeah.
Now, you're still super young with a lot ahead of you, but what have been the biggest challenges that you have faced aside from being stuck on a cruise ship?
I'm like, that's the first one that comes to my head. Again, it sounds crazy, but for me, it's the singing. It's because I've trained so hard in my dancing. As soon as I go to open my mouth, I've never felt so not confident in my life that it scares me. But other than that, it'd be comparison, for sure. That's the biggest challenge. We all want to be perfect. We all want to reap the rewards. We all want the job. I think when you want something so badly, you sometimes work way too hard. You burn yourself out. You get tired and you start to feel a little bit lost. So I think that's been the biggest challenges of just being able to balance like a really good healthy life and also a really good social life and also a really good career life. So yeah, it's just when you want something so badly, it means so much to you that you just got to realize sometimes it's better to just chill out and not go so hard, and it's going to come. It's going to come when it's meant to come, all in the right timing. And yeah, I think it's just like not being so hard on yourself and trusting in who you are as a person and as an artist. Yeah.
What advice would you give to your 10-year-old self?
The advice I'd give to my 10-year-old self would, you can never dream too big, ever. I always thought as a kid, all the dreams and the goals and aspirations I had were way too big. I thought that I could never dream like this. Even if I never was going to achieve it, I always thought, well, I'm pretty sure back in the day I had someone tell me the dreams were too big. That's the story I'm telling myself. But yeah, back in the day, I always thought all the dreams I had were way too big. And now I look back and I go, I can literally dream of anything I want and it's not going to stop me. It's actually going to make me work harder. And one day I'm going to get there, like absolutely. So that's the advice I'd tell myself if I was 10 years old, being never stop dreaming and your dreams are never, ever, ever too big. Like you are your own limit, not anyone else's. So
what are your goals and dreams for the future?
I have so many. I have so many goals and dreams. I have so many different jobs that I want to book in different countries, in different places, different shows, musicals. But the three major goals that I have would definitely be a backup dancer for an artist that is touring overseas. And that's always been my dream. I'd love a J-Lo. I'd love a Ricky Martin or a Paula Abdul. They're definitely at my top. My second one would be to be the Magic Mike mermaid in the show, the live show. I've loved it. And when it came to Australia, I wanted it even more. I was like, that's amazing. I want to be that girl that's up on stage in the water, dancing with her hair out. It's insane. And then my third one, this has been something that I've always wanted as a kid, but you probably know the movies like Step Up and Honey and all that. I want to be one of the dancers in there, for sure. There's, I feel it in my bones when I watch these movies. I'm like, I want to be her. Like, I want to be Honey, again, with their hair out, on the water, dancing. They're definitely, like, my three biggest goals. And, again, that comes alongside doing acting classes. I'm going to get my butt in acting. And, yeah, just making the right connections with people and still training and working hard because it requires a lot of strength and everything. So, yeah.
We've actually chatted to the Magic Mike mermaid, Kiana, overdoing it in Miami.
Oh my God, insane. I know Kiana. It's amazing. I'm following all their stories. I'm like, oh, I love it. I love it.
Where can people follow your story?
People can follow my story on Instagram, for sure. I feel like my Instagram for me is either like my CV or just my highlight reel for my whole entire life. I love to share on there. I love to share my stories, especially while I was overseas. That's how I kept in touch and connected with my family and kept them updated with everything that was going on. And I think I have so many young followers on there that I love to inspire on there too. So definitely on my Instagram is where I share my stories. Yeah.
Well, Soraya, thank you so much for giving up your time and chatting with us today.
Thank you for asking me. I had so much fun. You guys are so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Soraya.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Dance Matters Podcast.
If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a friend or on your socials.
It would be greatly appreciated if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review and rating. That helps the show reach more people so that we can keep bringing episodes to you.
Make sure you check out Crystallized Costumes
whenever you need your next costume.
And Adrenaline Dance Competitions
for well-run dance comps. And if you haven't caught up with all of our other episodes yet, head on back and check them out. There are some incredible stories waiting to be heard.
Remember, listen, love, and learn.
Bye. Bye.